Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. As always, I'm your host, Paul Fayon, here once again this week with the most beloved of co-hosts, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello!
How's it going, sir?
Good, you?
It's going.
Yeah, you seem to have a rough weekend. Rough week. Rough moment.
No, it's not that it's been particularly rough. It's just, like always, timing sucks. Timing for everything always seems to be terrible. You know, when you're growing up, your parents warn you, you always got to plan ahead. Always save for a rainy day. Always make sure you know, never know what's going to happen. Yeah, they're not wrong.
No. Oh, no.
So, it's just one of those things where unexpected expenses, and my wife has recently had a minor surgery, and there were some complications, and, quick run over to the emergency room. And by quick run over, I mean the drive over there was quick. The wait was long and painful. Only to find out there's nothing wrong with her, which is, you know, good news. But, you know, at least they could have tried to find something wrong with her for our time that we spent there. Make it worth our trip. Yeah.
Make it worth it.
Well, I just look for other stuff just in case, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, you know. And I'm about to embark on a journey, shall we say, with some War Machine models. And looking at the models, I'm dreading every second of it. So there we go. What's new and wonderful with you?
It's been a slow week. I tried to game this week. It didn't work. I made a drive downtown to the store. Couldn't find an opponent. At least I had to go anyway to get a kind of varnish. So it was not a worthless trip. And also I had to talk with the owner, but he didn't come back before I leave. So it was really
one of those
waste.
Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've had better weeks hobby-wise.
Yeah, me too.
Well, mostly gaming-wise, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but yeah.
Yeah, my hobbies really struggled recently. I just don't have the juice. That being said, I decided to try looking at a different game again to try to jumpstart my hobby mojo. So I'm still working on, you know, like the Guild Ball, you know, stuff I was doing, but I decided to pull out some Circle Ouroboros stuff for War Machine, and get that painted up. Well, one of my buddies, Dan, has been asking me about playing a game, and haven't had time, really. But I'm going to use that as an excuse to
finish
a list. Yeah, painted a Circle Ouroboros list.
Because you already have some painted Ouroboros, but not all your stuff.
Oh, not by a long shot. Yeah. I have a lot of Circle stuff. The thing is, what I have painted, some of it I wouldn't mind playing. But what I've always liked most about Circle is the constructs, the
wolds,
the wolds, the stone constructs. Yeah, so I am working on a bunch of that stuff. There's a theme list for them called Bones of Ouroboros, and I've played it in the past, and I quite liked it, but I rushed to get models together for War Machine, and I played with unpainted models for a few months, and I felt dirty the whole time. But I can understand the appeal for people that do that, just to, you know, be able to play games and get it done. But I'm actually using that as my motivator to get painting.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually I don't play unless painted. So I've made a theme list. It's not that many models. Probably, I don't know, probably less than 20 for a 75-point army.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't currently have any of those models painted. No. That's not true. Actually, not true. I have one Warbeast painted. I have Megalith painted. So I'm going to assemble a bunch of stuff and attempt to paint it.
And then you've painted Megalith before, so you've painted one of the worlds.
Well,
to me, the seem easier and faster to paint than other stuff. Do you think that's true? And that would probably help.
I think so.
That painted faster.
Yeah, they are definitely faster and easier to paint. That is absolutely true. I mean, they're big stone guys, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, actually, you know what? That may not necessarily be true, because it all depends on what you put into it. Like everything for else. Sure. Right? If you're going to paint every single, like, engraving part so it looks like it's glowing, and...
Yeah, you do OSL everywhere, you know, and... Yeah.
For sure, you can, you know... They will take time if you do that. I am not doing that. Nor would I ever do that. I don't like the models that much. To be honest, the models are painfully old, some of them. sorry, I'm trying to figure out how this guy's arm goes on. Because it doesn't seem to fit any particular way. Well, I got no idea here. Yeah, like I put together... Oh boy, I gotta remember their names. What's the... The original stone monster called the World Watcher is the
World Watcher, I think.
No, wasn't World Watcher the little one?
Yeah, but that is the original one.
Okay. What's the bigger version of the World Watcher?
World Warden.
The World Warden, okay. So I put the two World Wardens tonight. Yeah, well, two of the big stone guys that look like their arms are swinging side to side for some reason while they walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That weird, weird pose. I put together two of those tonight, and I may have wanted to cut on myself a little bit.
Oh.
Well, they're not complicated. There's like five pieces or something. It's just that they're such old sculpts, and their pose is so dorky. But I can't bring myself to try to reposition old metal models to make them look less terrible.
Oh, yeah, it's a ton of gem.
I'm like, it's just not worth it to me. Since these will probably just get painted to a decent tabletop standard. And right now, like I said, my wife's in recovery. So I can't really go out and game. Reason being is while she's recovering, she can't pick up anything heavier than 10 pounds. Which means
your kids are more than 10 pounds.
Yeah, my 2-year-old boy being the problem. The daughter, I mean... My daughter's 5, so she can get herself in and out of bed. She can take care of herself. She dresses herself. It's easy. The 2-year-old, not so much. You know, if either of them decide they're not going to bed on her or something because they want to be stubborn and in pain, well, she can't exactly carry them kicking and screaming to bed because she can't pick them up or do anything. So, for the next couple weeks, I'm trapped here.
Yeah.
Which is okay. She's recovering. I'm not, I don't mean to sound like a jerk husband who's like, oh, I can't believe I got to stay here and take care of my wife. Cause that's totally not how it is. But what I'm doing is I'm using that as a, you have this amount of time to finish this list. So my goal is we're May 5th. Let me look at the handy dandy calendar in Windows here. Well, I'm going to say by the 26th. So I'll give myself, that's 3 solid weeks to finish the 75-point list.
Oh, that's pretty.
That's pretty, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my usual modus operandi.
That's how you do when you try to challenge yourself, but like with how being you've been doing in the past weeks.
It may be a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may be a bit aggressive, but we'll see. I mean, some of this, like a lot of this stuff's easy to paint, right? So that
will help.
The few living models are going to be more of a pain because Circle Orbros. But like all the wolves, what are they called? The mannequins and sentry stones, all that stuff is simple. It's all just either trees or rock. So I should be able to plow through that pretty quickly. With liberal use of my airbrush.
Yeah, that will work pretty well, I think.
So the problem are going to be, or not the problem, the more challenging pieces will be the stone shapers, the warcaster, and I think I'm going to paint it up using Baldur 1, just for fun. And right now the list has what are they called? The druids.
The black clad?
Black clad wayfarer, yeah. But I'm not sure how good he's going to be or useful. I guess I can use him to hold objectives, or hold flags, I should say. Been so long since I played War Machine, holy cow. So he's in there, and I've got a gallows grove. But I mean, it's just the human guys are going to be tough, and unfortunately my black clads are both used. So they look like someone vomited paint on them.
Okay, used as in already painted.
Second
that you need
hand,
to go over, yeah.
Because when I wanted to buy some, I'm not sure what had gone on, but they were just out of stock everywhere, so I just had to take what I could get.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought used, and they were in terrible, terrible shape. One of them doesn't even have, like, his weapon.
That's really bad.
He's got, like, half of his weapon. I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, it's rough shape.
Do you need help with completing your weapon, or? Is it just going to have a stick?
Well, like I said, I've got two, right? So I have to look and see which one's in better shape for the rest of the model.
Because
I haven't seen them in in over a year. I do remember that one was painted pretty heavily with, what looks like, craft acrylic or something, like just 8 inches thick of acrylic goodness. So I have to see, if I have to strip or what's going on, if I can paint over, or I haven't decided yet. And depending on which one's in better shape, well, I may need some Antoine Lovin. I'll let you know.
Yep, sure.
I'll take a look at this week. I'm actually assembling a caster that's not for the list right now because I wasn't really set up to paint tonight, so I'm just going to do some assembly. And I found a Kruger 2 model that I had in the blister. I'd originally thought about making the list with Kruger 2 because he is actually probably the preferred caster for that list now. But the problem I have with that is that he is the preferred caster for that list. And I want to be a bit of a special snowflake. And I think, because Dan and I are going to play a casual game.
Yeah.
And looking at Kruger's spell list with all the geomancies I have in the list, it just seems way too good for a casual game. So we'll go with Baldur, because I think it's thematic. The stone cleaver guy with all the stone stuff.
Indeed.
And I do have the resculpt of Baldur 1.
Mm-hmm. So it's a nice model.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent looking model. I also have Baldur 2, but I'm feeling more the Baldur 1 pull. So I'll paint that up. And then at that point, I can change the list just by changing casters and adding one or two things. I've also got Bradagus unassembled in box that I could paint up.
It looks like a fun model to work on.
He is. He's quite large. He's a nice model. And I've got a lot of stuff that could make that list work for him, too. I've got a lot of the I'm just going to forget everything, apparently. World Watchers? Where the little guy was.
Yes.
I think I've got 3 or 4 of those. And I seem to recall that they are very good with him. Oh, boy. Sorry, I just opened up a new model to assemble. And there's far more pieces than I would like on the model. Including a sprue of little spiky bits that I presume go probably along his spinal cord or something. It's one of the Warpborn Skinwalker Alphas. Because I had 2 units of Skinwalkers, but I didn't have a second Alpha, so I bought one at one point. And then stopped playing Circle. And that's actually the other list I'd like to play, is the Wolf Sworn list or whatever, which I don't think is competitive at all. But it's cool and thematic, so my inner special snowflake is pulling me towards it. And I wanted to do it with Morvana 1, who not that long ago got a buff. And I think actually the Skinwalkers got a buff too. So it seems like a good time to mess around with it and experiment.
True.
And really, what have I got to lose? I'm not playing competitive War Machine here, nor am I ever likely to. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Guys, what the heck? Sorry. I'm wondering why my flash is bigger than my model. it's because my first Warborn Skullwalker I ever assembled was all metal. Obviously, to save costs on a lot of these old metal models, they've started doing parts of them in resin. So, like, his torso is all resin now. And I have these giant vents that are going to leave horrible, horrible marks, apparently, on the model when I cut them off. Because, you know, they're on big curved surfaces. Like on the underside of a cloak and stuff.
Yeah, that's sort of painful to remove and complicated to clean up.
The cast is nice, though. I will say that. It's good and clean. The material looks odd. It makes me think of 3D printed resin as opposed to resin you cast in.
Nope.
The consistency of the material is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So that's my diatribe on my Circle Army and what I'm doing and why. And maybe I'll play some War Machine. Who knows, maybe the bug will bite me again and I'll fall in love with the game again. I'd kind of become disenfranchised with it. I still follow it. I still listen to a bunch of podcasts. I still try to keep up on what's the good stuff in the quote-unquote meta. Never mattered much because it wasn't like I was playing it. Oh, yeah, this will be fun. As he wonders how he's going to stick this metal piece to this piece of resin. Time to get my pins, I guess. And people who don't know me, I hate pinning models. And I hate being left with no choice but to pin models. But apparently I have no choice but to pin models.
You gotta do what you have to do.
I think last time I had to pin stuff, I actually paid our buddy Chris to do it for me. Because I was... Yeah, like Niss Hunters.
Yeah, assembling your Niss Hunters, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I can't be bothered. Chris, how much would you charge me? And I think he gave me an amount, and I paid him, and I think at the end of it, he thought I'd get the better end of that deal. And I would probably agree, because I didn't have to assemble them, so it seemed fair to me.
Yeah. I have a couple of blisters of those unassembled, and they will probably stay that way.
Till the end of time? Yeah. I have no idea how this guy goes together. I should probably try looking at a picture online, because he doesn't seem to fit the way I thought he fit. Alright, what are you working on? Because I've been rambling forever about my crap.
Right now, I'm painting a Puggy Corn.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw you were posting that you were working on something you'd sculpted. That guy was coming out pretty cool, too.
Yeah, that has not happened a lot. Like, when I do conversions or slight resculpts of stuff for armies, I paint them, but miniatures that I have sculpted completely, I think I painted maybe two or three. That might be the third one, max. So it's fun to do one. He's about done. I only have the horn left to do now. I'm just not sure of the color. So could be rainbow, but it's small. And I'm not sure I want to do so much glazing on a curved, spirally, unique horn that's less than a centimeter long. So,
and I said I was a special snowflake, Mr. Rainbow Unicorn Horn.
Well, the pug is pug-like in color, so it's beiges and dark brown. So it's a bit flat. So adding something more colorful would give a spark of color.
This is the part of the podcast where I start swearing. Because my luck holds true.
You have miscast or mispacks.
Mispack.
As usual.
Yep. No lower jaw for my wolf alpha.
Why do you have so many mispacks? That just doesn't make sense.
It's really like, seems like one for three for me or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, something like that. It's like you have a ton of War Machine, but still your ratio is high.
I'm looking to make sure I didn't miss anything. But, I mean, there's nothing really in front of me. Gonna double check. There's some bits of resin, some bits of bases. Yeah, no, there's the horns. There's the Kruger. Yeah, I don't see any piece of him. Yep, I'm missing his lower jaw.
Your luck with that company is so bad.
The worst part is that my luck for getting replacements is even worse.
Oh, yeah?
Well, half the time I don't get replacements, or I get the wrong parts.
Oh, yeah, didn't you try twice to have your...
Vlad 3 replaced?
Vlad, yeah, the cavalry Vlad replaced, and...
Yep,
both times I got the wrong part twice. Yeah.
There was one of my warjacks, I had two of the same arm or something back in the day. And I just kept getting that same arm over and over again. No matter how many times I told them it was left arm, they'd send me, I need a left arm. Okay, here's a right arm. No, I need a left arm. Oh, sorry about that. Here's another right arm. with the Vlad, it was the horse is sculpted. The mold didn't fill all the way. And the horse is metal, and like two halves don't fit together right.
Yeah.
So I said the horse was the problem, and they sent me the torso for Vlad. Not even the wrong half of the horse, just the whole wrong piece, right?
Yeah. And it keeps happening to you. That's the worst part. It's not like once. It's always like that.
And I can't get over it. I'm looking at my table going, no, it must be here. I just must not be seeing it. But I mean, really, there's nothing on the table in front of me where I unpack this guy. Like, I'm looking at the blister, it's not in the blister, and it's not, like, trapped between the pieces of paper.
Yeah, yours.
I mean, I you know, maybe it just seems like a lot, but I do have so much War Machine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really one in three, but it seems like I have it more often than I should. Let's put it that way. I mean, I literally have probably 1,000 War Machine miniatures, so I guess I should expect, a couple percent to be mispacks, which would still seem like a lot of models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that would still be like 10 or something. This was, I probably shouldn't exhale like that on mic. That's going to be fun to edit out later.
Have you worked on other stuff than that in the past couple of weeks? Because we missed a week, right?
Yeah, we didn't record the week my wife's surgery.
It was
just not practical for me.
For sure.
No, last week was pretty hobby light, as you can imagine. I like to think I'm pretty involved with my kids and doing stuff with them and in the process of taking care of them. But it's one thing to go from being part of that process to being all of that process. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of mucked with my scheduling. And my kids hate sleeping. So by the time I'd get done with them at night, I just had no juice left to do any hobby. There was nothing left in the tank.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking for pieces, hoping beyond all hope that it slid up underneath something on my desk. Yeah. So I haven't done much. I've pretty much finished Ferris for my blacksmiths, and that's been a model I've been working on for weeks off and on. I can't say I really enjoyed it. But it's done. I also got the new blacksmiths captain and apprentice, master and apprentice, Culverin and Cutlass.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looking forward to those, but I want a little break from the Guild Ball. It seems like that's all I've done the last 6 months. Or I've done a lot of Guild Ball anyway, so it's time for a little break. Yeah, so I worked on her. I also worked on Iron a little bit. He's a pretty simple sculpt, so he won't take long to do. I looked sideways at my Judgment stuff and decided I didn't feel like working on it, so that's still in a holding pattern. I will probably assemble my remaining Judgment figures just so I can play with them.
Yeah.
And I have the impression I worked on something else, but I can't remember what it was. I can't think of it. So I guess that's about it.
Yeah, on my side, I finished the Infinity models I was working on.
Oh, yeah, your hack of slime. Oh, no. Sorry, crazy glued myself to my Whirlpool. Oh, Jesus. That's a lot of glue. Sorry, carry on as I tear my finger off.
It seems like you'd already have a problem with your finger and skin.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know how the glue ended up there. Yeah, sorry.
The kind of thing you want to ear with super glue, usually.
I'm the type of thing I want to broadcast to be wither when I glue myself to a model and have to tear off the tip of my finger. Somehow the glue, I was gluing on the Skinwalker's left arm, and the glue wrapped around the backside and ended up in the fur detail on the cloak.
Oh.
Which is now filled with crazy glue and my skin.
And skin, yeah.
Wow. That was something.
It was a live experience.
Yeah. Sorry I hijacked your discussion there, Antoine. By all means, continue.
Yeah. I painted the... I finished the...
The Hackaslam condition.
Hackaslam models for François. And so he's got them. He's used them this weekend at the CTC, the Canadian something something tournament. But I have not heard back from him yet.
Did they perform better?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Was there a painter requirement for the event?
I don't know if it was required, but he wanted to play fully painted.
Yeah, we just discussed that. I totally understand that.
Yeah. The rest of his force was painted by other painters. I think European painters or European friends. But he needed them done locally. And then I didn't paint other stuff than that. I started working on the pug. The rest was cleaning and sculpting. I finished the how did I say that? Vague casting. So the secret sculpt is done and sent. Hopefully I'll be able to talk about it in the next weeks or months. I have no idea what the timeline on that. I also finished my Crow Witch.
Oh, she finished?
Yep, yep. She's finished now. I did some cleanup. Well, I probably have some cleanup to do if I decide to cast her, like reduce undercuts and stuff like that. But outside of that, she's done.
Cool.
She's been in the work for months now, so.
Yeah, it's one of those projects that never seem to end.
Yep.
So. Oh, I found the jaw.
Oh, so it's not a miss back.
No, yay!
Yay!
I'm just an idiot. There's the lower jaw is actually a tinier piece than I thought it was, and it was on the sprue with the giant spiky bits. So, yay! Now I don't know where those spiky bits go. Probably on its back somewhere. You know what'd be cool is if Predator Press included, like, I don't know,
reference models or instructions.
Something, anything, yeah.
Just reference pictures would be good. Yeah, I had that this week. The other stuff I did was I cleaned up some models from Chronicle of the Wayfarer. They have a line of 15 meter and 35 mil models, fantasy models. I pitted some of them like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I remember the blending on the 15 millimeter models, Antoine. It still makes me disgusted. Yeah,
the highs. That's what some people find. Like, I did paint them, but still. And I've been cleaning some of them, and I had the same problem. I had a piece, and I had no idea where it went. I even watched online and couldn't find. So I had to contact the owner so he could point to me where it goes. And even when he told me where it was going, I had problem seeing where the piece was going.
Nice.
But now I know, and it's ready to be placed. So I cleaned that. It's a fun project. I have three different scale of the same model. He has a lawgiver, which is kind of a big inquisitor guy with a giant axe. But I have him in 15 millimeter. I have another pose for him in 35 millimeter. And I have a bust, like a 1/10 or 1/12 bust of the same model. They all have different pose, but it's the same sculpting or same style, at least. So it's going to be interesting to work on them.
Yeah, 15 millimeter, Yeah.
Yeah, but out of the three, it's probably going to be the easiest to paint. the smaller one.
You figure?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I will try to keep the same style, which is NMM. And like NMM at the 15 millimeter, what I did was super cartoony, and it's going to work. But when I'll go up to the other two, I don't think NMM cartoony NMM will fit as well. So it's going to be a lot more work than if I switch to pure metallics.
Is it the... But are those models the same faction as the one you...
Yes.
Oh, it's the same... Right, I'm sorry. It's actually the same model, right? Just over and over again. Frig.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just dropped a little tiny middle piece.
Yeah, so it's the same model in 3 scale, but it's also the same faction that I did the other models for, the other 4 models. So I want to keep the same style for the 15 millimeter one. And that means that it needs to be... in that NMM style, and I'm not sure in the bust how well I'll be able to get it out. Like cartoony NMM, I don't have any problem, but realistic one, I don't know. So, but yeah, I did that, and I also almost finished the swag item we are working on for the National, the Gibbon National.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it was that close to done.
Yeah, it's almost done. I even sculpted something for it and removed it because it didn't look good. So I have one broom left to do, and then it's going to go to casting.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, I picked up the silicone. I didn't have any more, so I picked up not a gallon, but...
A liter?
Yeah, a liter of silicone to prepare it. And I have other pieces I want to do anyway, so... I needed more. So it's done. And... Like, now I... If it wasn't for all the casting will take some time because that's a bunch of players. So it's, and this, I'm pretty sure the goal will be 2-piece. So it's more casting. So that's going to be eating a lot of my time in the coming weeks. But now I'm kind of fully free from projects because I had 2 big commission, a sculpting and a painting one in the past few months. And before that, I had my LOL after, Adepticon. So now I don't know what to work on. There's so many interesting projects, but we're not really gaming. And most of those projects are stuff that I'm the only one having it. So finding time to play them is hard. So it's harder to justify painting them.
What is that game I'm thinking of? The underwater one.
Deep Wars. Deep Wars is one of them. Anyaral is one of them. Burrows and Badgers is one of them. Yeah. Like, even those Chronicle of the Wayfarer models, they're kind of a challenge. And also, the guy is almost done with the 35-meter rules for it. So, it's a good time to paint them. Like, part of those were a prize I got for the painting competition when I did it, I think 2 years ago now. So I don't own it to him, but it would be nice to do it. So, but I could also start working on a new sculpt to cast something different, something funny. So too many options. And we've not played it yet. But I'm kind of want to try painting some of the Song of Ice and Fire miniatures we got.
Yeah, well, we've had a rank and flank, like, itch that we've been trying to avoid scratching, so...
Yeah. But, like, I got them all out, I put them on the table, both sides of the starter, so, like, I could work on those.
Yeah, if I sound funny, it's because I'm on the floor looking for that bit of Warpwolf Alpha that I lost.
Oh, no. Yeah, so a lot of options. And I'll jump to my games. I know you haven't played anything. On my side, a couple of weeks ago, just after we recorded the last episode, I played a game of Guild Ball. I was able to leave a bit earlier and attend the Guild Ball evening. And I played with a player I have never played before, Sylvain. He's part of the newer crew that's joined, and they play regularly. So it's fun to see so much activity for the game recently, because it had died down a bit locally. So I'm happy that it's back on track. And it was a good game, Cooks against Butchers. So thematic game. Battle of the Reds. So good game there. And the other game I played a game of Super Dungeon Explorer today with my son.
Oh, how did that go?
Yeah, it was my first time trying the arcade mode. That's the cooperative variant. And it's fun. I twist the rules. We wanted to only play with 2 mod. I wanted to only use 2 heroes, so it wasn't too long. And I probably twisted the rules a bit too much, so it was kind of too easy. But it was still fun. And he got the rules pretty easy. And with it being cooperative, I could just help him with stuff, and he didn't have to fully understand everything. I manage the monster rules and the event decks and stuff like that. But how the dice works for the stats and hitting and moving and turn alternation, stuff like that. It was fun.
I didn't know that it actually come out.
That variant came out in the Forgotten King, so the previous Kickstarter, not the one that's in the hiatus right now, the Legend, Super Dungeon Legends. So the arcade rules are from the one before that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think there are newer rules out in PDF format somewhere. Like that they did for the playtest for the new edition that's stalled. But I didn't want to print everything. And I have already the cards for everything else. I have so many expansions of it. So at least just for fun to play here, the old version works for me.
Yeah, sometimes you don't need to have the latest greatest, right?
No, absolutely.
The kind of people play Old Hammer.
Mm-hmm. So that got him the bug to paint. So we've prepped a couple miniatures from Super Dungeon Explorer, one of the heroes and one of the treasure chests. So we'll try to paint it this week or maybe next weekend. Last time he painted, he was probably 5. So I hope that it's going to be a different color than the kind of brownish slug, kind of, Napolitan ice cream that melted, that all these miniatures have that look together. Like, it painted 5 or 6 of the Klix superheroes, and they all look like just ice cream sludge.
Yeah, well, it's also different when they're 5, right?
Yeah. So he does have some challenge with his fine motor control, so I don't know how it will go with painting, but we'll see. We'll see next week.
It probably won't go that badly.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, base coats, right? If he can get base coats down, just solid, consistent base coats.
Yep. And then we'll apply a generous wash, and that's going to be it.
Yep. And try to steer him away from colors that are frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, right now it's fine. You got miniatures that are not super bright and no yellows, no...
That's just it, right? Yellows, reds are tough too, right? Unless you want a dark red. Like the, what is that color? Macarius red, like the GW... You know, the GW had that line of foundation paints or whatever. They had a red in there that was like super good.
I like my scab red, but that's multiple variants back. So,
but scab red was also kind of a dark red that
and that one worked. Covered really well. Yeah. That was a really good color. So I decided to do the rainbow, and
any regrets so far?
I'm not sure I like how it looks.
That would be a regret, yes.
Yeah, it works, but almost looks out of place. On the mini that's too drab for it. So I might just go over it another time.
Yeah, I have no idea where that piece went.
No. So, no mispack, but you still lost it.
Yeah. Well, no, not the jaws. It's just one of the the spines off its back. So it's not the end of the world, but it's annoying. And it had glue on it, so it's going to be stuck to my floor somewhere or something. I checked my socks. I was hoping maybe it got stuck to my socks, but no such luck. And I'm kind of encased with stuff, so I tried to like move things around, knocked over a bunch of stuff. Again, that's going to sound great in the recording.
Yeah.
I'll I may actually have to clean up my track a little bit this time.
More than usual.
We'll see. We'll see how much energy I feel like putting into it.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, so.
But you see behind the veil, folks.
Mm-hmm. But the getting Super Dungeon out kind of got me, I could paint that too. But I have no illusion I won't paint the full box or all the monsters. I'll concentrate on just getting the heroes painted. And that's going to be enough. But while we were playing that, he saw there was an ad pamphlet in the box. And he saw the Ninja All-Star promo ad in it too. So, oh, wow, ninjas. Oh, yeah, I have that one too. So we might get that box out also. So it's fun. Cool. I haven't played board games like that in I don't know how long. It was before I had kids for sure. So.
Yeah, I'd like to play more board games. I was actually doing, with my daughter today, we were doing, they're board games, but they're puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like logic puzzle board games. And I think the company actually might be called Smart Games that makes them. And they have this one where it's super simple. It's like it's four penguins and four blocks of ice. And it's a board and you position the penguins. And then the blocks of ice will only fit on the board a certain way.
Oh, yeah. I know the kind of games you're talking about. Yeah, we have multiple of those here for the kids, too.
So, and as you go through the book, there's like 85 puzzles or something in it, whatever.
Yeah, and they go in order of difficulty.
Yeah, exactly. So we did the first, like, I don't know, 15 or something. And then I was like, I need a break.
How much of it were you doing yourself?
No.
You were just managing?
Yeah, I did some. Like, Mira said she wanted to share. So she'd let me do one out of every three or something. Or she'd give me... This is the odd thing. She'd be like, okay, I'll do three pieces of the puzzle and you do one. Because there's four blocks of ice to put in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that seems awfully strange because it's hard to work the logic out if... So she started off that way, and the first few puzzles easy, because I took the strangest shaped piece, which if you look at the puzzle logically, can only fit one way.
Yeah.
Right, because otherwise you'll create gaps in the puzzle, where blocks won't fit. So that worked for a little while, and then we got up to a point where I'm like, I can't really do that anymore, so I think you're just going to have to do all four pieces and play around with them. But she has more patience than I originally gave her credit for.
That's good.
Yeah, no, she, you know, she even puzzles she had a hard time with, she stuck with until she, you know, eventually she'd ask for help maybe, but she didn't get frustrated and just like, okay, I'm done, and throw the puzzle like I expected. Because, you know, 5-year-olds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've run out of things to glue my fingers to.
That's good.
Hey, wait, maybe, I think I just remember where my mannequin's arms are. In behind me, there's a bin of miscellaneous crap. And I think maybe, just maybe, somewhere in here, there's... there's Space Marine Scouts Antoine gave me a year ago. There's a...
I gave you Scouts?
Yeah. You found some Space Marine Scouts when you sold your Tau or something.
Oh, the snipers?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Here's an empty blister. There's a bunch of random resin. Oh, what's this?
Yeah.
It's always fun you find models you didn't know you owned. That appears to be a Terminator chaplain. Some 30K stuff. Wait. Aha! The arms! Success! Excellent. I can glue my fingers to other stuff.
One of the thing with playing more board games and games with Theodore, I find is he got more interest in not just board games, but also miniatures games. So there's other older miniatures games or other games I don't have that I'm now looking into. That like I had no interest before. Yeah. One of them being Age of Sigmar.
Because the rule set is simple?
Yeah, the rule set is simple, and the miniatures are really nice. So, I might try that back. Like, the only game we had was before the rules were even out, so...
No, they were out.
No, the PDF previews that were leaked. That's what we played with.
Okay, hold on. But those rules were actually the final rules anyway.
They were, but there was no scenario balancing.
And there was none when it launched either, right? We did not play with the General's Handbook.
That I agree.
This is true. Yes, however, there was no General's Handbook at the time, so there was no point values, no way to balance the armies.
No, and no scenarios, nothing. Like, and even without balancing, we could probably... I guess that's probably not the right word to say it. We could probably ice it and get something out that was kind of balanced. I think the game we played was kind of balanced, in fact. But still, I think it was a fair try of it. And it, from all we hear online, I think there might be a bit more to it.
I think it was a fair try of it.
Of what was out.
At the time.
Yeah.
And, you know... I mean, from what I understand, the current version of the game is essentially 40K in a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
Right? And the 40K rules are, well, maybe not super balanced. They are fun and very functional.
Yeah.
So I don't see why it wouldn't work. And like you said, the models are gorgeous. I just don't know.
But yeah,
I would love to use it as an excuse to like paint my wood elves or something that I've had for years and years and never painted. But from my understanding, all the old armies are kind of not very good.
But they were crap at first before the compendium, that's for sure. I don't know how bad they are now. And also, how bad they are in casual format. Like, I have no interest at all to go play pickup games. The more I go, the more I find that I'm more on the narrative / campaign side. Like, this building is not something that I enjoy that much. No, I've never really enjoyed this building. I prefer an Islander approach to armies. Like, one of everything. Or make it super generic for that faction. Like, I like the old... 40k rules how you build your army where you needed the
force orcs.
The force orcs. And what I always disliked is you didn't the troop segments were not exponential, but you didn't need to grow them up as you added stuff. Like it was 2-6, and after that 0-3 for the other sides. Yeah. I always wanted them to be 1-2 for each level you want unlocked. Like, to have more troops to make an army that makes sense.
Yeah, wow.
But that's how I like to build my force. And not go for super combos and stuff like that. So, I always like playing like that. No spam, no exaggerating one side.
That's how you play fantasy.
Yeah, and that's how I played my list. Played too, so.
Yeah, and my fantasy army was the same way, right? But
yep.
they weren't exactly competitive armies.
Oh, no, for sure.
You know?
But
Steve, who raffle stomped me every single game, will attest to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons I've been more down on War Machine lately, is with the new team and everything being kind of forced to go into spamming. And less play what you like and more play what works. So.
Yeah. No. I think Privateer Press hit a wall, right? So they had a problem.
Yeah.
Their game was bloated and their SKU count was bloated, I should say. Not the game, but the SKU count was bloated, right? So how do you make everything useful and balance? Either you start discontinuing models, right? And trim the fat. Or you have to compartmentalize everything. So they chose to compartmentalize everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I get why they did it, but it certainly changes the feel of the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where they lost me.
So. You can still play fun, like, themed armies. But
when you look, that's not what you see. So
No. But again, we're old men. So yeah. In the same way you would never go and play Age of Sigmar outside your basement, you know, at a store, you're kind of in that same boat for War Machine and stuff, I think, now, right? You gotta...
But before I played more of it, but I think that version of that view of the game was less present.
Yeah.
But the game was smaller, there was less queue counts back then too, so I think the
scale of the game was smaller, right?
Yeah.
So, like in Mark 1, there was no spamming of stuff because lists were much smaller. Couldn't spam, really, because you'd be over point value.
Yeah.
Right? Like how many units did you have in a Mark 1 game? Two? And then, like, maybe a solo or two, and your caster, and some beasts or jacks, and that was it. Like, games, you didn't have, you know, 40 Doom Reavers.
No, for sure. Yeah.
And Mark 2 increased the size. Mark 3, I don't think actually increased the size. I think it maybe increased the number of beasts and jacks we see, because they give you more points to try to encourage more for the feel of the game. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actual number of units on the table, I think it's about the same.
Yeah, I think so.
But it seemed like the disparity between good and bad units got a lot bigger.
Yes.
Like, and the game became more spammy. And I think casuals have kind of left the game, leaving only the more competitive or most competitive players left or around.
Yep. Yeah. And that makes
of course,
everything you see looks more competitive or
spammy. Because it is. Because the people who are playing are the competitive, like, ultra competitive players.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're wrong for playing it that way.
Oh, no, for sure.
I like the game. But for people who are trying to play it casually, it's certainly discouraging is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I don't think they're playing it bad. I just think that it's no longer the meta I want to play in.
Their fun is wrong. Yeah.
No, not even. It's not my fun. That's not the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was talking, we are so bad tonight.
For what? For rambling?
Yeah. I was talking about games I want to play with Theodore. We didn't have.
Yeah,
but so I was talking about games I want to play with Theodore.
Oh,
and we
sorry.
Got about the states of War Machine, though.
Age of Sigmar. Yeah, we're talking about Age of Sigmar.
But, like, I'm not a fan of Star Wars, but even then, he likes it. So I'm starting to look at Legion.
Or would you want to play X-Wing with him?
I'm sure he would like X-Wing for sure.
Antoine, you can use my stuff.
Yeah, I could. Because I played Star Trek, but the...
Oh, that was terrible.
Dungeon Attack Wing.
Oh, yeah, that one was
that which okay. had the similar base system.
Yeah.
So, no, but I kind of want to get him... Like, he wants to paint stuff. So, having the miniatures, like the troopers for Star Wars Legion might be fun for him to paint, more than having the ships already pre-painted. But he would probably like playing X-Wings too.
Yeah. The only thing, I need to get the update kit.
Yeah, for the second edition.
Yeah, because all my stuff's first edition.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's that expensive. And I was looking at getting it anyway.
Yeah. If you get it, I would probably I would be happy to borrow it and try it with him.
Because I mean, I have. I'm just kind of looking through my table legs at what I've got in the bottom of the display case there. You know, I've got a small fleet, probably 2 Y wings, 3 X wings, a couple A wings, a couple B wings, the Falcon, a K wing, I think that is, and then I've got.
Oh, is that a small fleet? Isn't a game like two or three ships?
Yeah, then I've got four TIE fighters, two TIE bombers, a couple TIE Advance, and an interceptor or two.
Yeah, small fleets.
And I've got the Lambda-class shuttle. No, well, a game is more like a ship or two. I think it used to be 100 points. And depending on the gear and stuff, it was like four or five ships to the Rebels, because the Rebel ships were more expensive.
Okay.
The Imperial ships were always like, it was like five or six, because they were cheaper.
Okay. Yeah.
TIE fighters are like, tin foil with blasters. So.
I probably just saw like intro level games. That's why.
Well, the other thing is that.
Or people who were playing like the super big ships. Yeah.
You start playing with the Falcon and stuff, or the Ghost, or the other things that came up. But it's a really fun game. I really like X-Wing. But the competitive nature of people spoiled it for me.
Yeah.
And the fact that, once they got out of the original movie stuff, I kind of lost interest.
Because
it was all the weird video game stuff and the stuff from the novels and the stuff and stuff from different time periods.
Yeah.
The stuff from the prequels and whatever, and it didn't really interest me. Though I almost did buy in when they started doing the stuff from the cartoon, from the Star Wars Rebels cartoon. Well, because that was actually, if you've ever seen that, it's really good.
No.
You should watch that with Theodore. He would like it. It's got the right amount of action, right amount of cool stuff, good story arc, whole coming of age story thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. I agree, and that would probably get me more into the mindset of playing those games. But yeah, right now I have a lot of ideas. I even got some games. I got my copy of Stuffed Fables in the past month. I was waiting for the French translation, and it took a long time, but it's out now, so I finally have it. So we're going to try to play that and probably paint the at least the Heroes minis.
If you wanted Boro Wander to try with them too.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how... Oh, it's co-op too, though.
It's co-op.
Yeah, that's why I got Stuffed Fables, because it's co-op.
And you get to pick heroes and,
Yeah.
Because it's co-op, he'd probably have fun because you can help him.
Yeah.
And guide him through the game.
Mm-hmm. I think the game is pretty harder, though.
I don't think the first few scenarios are.
No, maybe not. But yeah, it's something to keep in mind. But like right now...
Well, even if it's not right now, down the road, right?
I got a copy of Blackstone Fortress.
You got a copy of Blackstone Fortress?
Yeah. In French, too, because of that.
How did... Okay.
We'll talk. But yeah, I got a copy of that too, and with Theodore in mind. Because I remember really liking, we played Warhammer Quest a ton when I was a kid. Like HeroQuest and Warhammer Quest. And I know he likes robots and stuff like that. So I showed him the box, and there's an Imperial robot like painted in the teal and like super, Art Deco colors, and he fell in love with it.
Yeah, the robot that has an AI that has to pretend it doesn't have an AI?
I have no idea, because I didn't read any of it. I just...
Yeah, I think the robot is sentient.
It
doesn't. Because, of course, sentient AI is not allowed, right, in the 40
No. So, I get that too. So, right now, I'm not... I don't need new games, but as a polygamer, I kind of always need new games. So I'm looking ahead to what would be cool. I think I just need to make a list and show him stuff before deciding, so I get at least to know what he's interested in. Because I really love the Loon Curse box that's coming out this week. But who knows, he might not have interest in goblins and treemans. So... Yeah. That's why I'm thinking about Legion, because he likes Star Trek, so maybe he would prefer that, and I heard good things about the game. So, who knows? That will be... There will be a new miniature games, or at least a reissue of a miniature a game I already have in the middle future.
In the not so far future.
Not so far future, yeah. That's
in the not so far future of Antoine's basement, there's only war.
Yeah. Yeah. Asbury showed interest in like she's a bit young for miniature gaming. Right now you're a board game, right?
But she likes the idea of playing with the little men.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can see it's gonna be there. But she's also a very girly girl, so it's tough to. She may decide that she shouldn't be like. One of the things about Muriel is she will stop herself from doing things that she doesn't think she should be enjoying, okay. Because she's a girl.
Yeah, like she's auto putting pressure on herself.
Yeah, she like limits herself. Yeah,
but there are girls playing now, so
yeah. And she is a, like, my daughter is going to be a super girly girl. Like, today she wanted to put, her big thing was trying to put makeup on me. She doesn't have any makeup, it was all pretend. But she has, using her, like, watercolor paint set with the little paintbrush, pretending that it was, like, eyeshadow and blush and stuff. And she had me lie down on the floor while she, you know, quote-unquote, put makeup on me. And there was this whole involved story that she was telling me while she was doing it. So she's got the imagination, right? So,
yeah.
It was fun.
She might be more into RPG than miniature game.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. True. Yeah. But I look forward to my gaming future now with how the past few weeks have been. And like, even if we're not able to play that much outside of home. Having
someone to play with at the house,
yeah, will make a big difference.
Yeah, I keep trying to get my wife to try games, but
yeah,
that's a ixnay on the games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The same year.
I can't imagine anyone having like less interest than my wife. Though maybe if I can make it super narrative, she would do it, but because she's all about the narrative. Whenever she watches us play games, she's always like, so what's the story? What's going on?
And she's not into RPG either?
She does RPG, but different. She doesn't do tabletop RPG in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
She does like a freeform roleplay thing online in chat.
Okay, yeah. Purely story driven.
Yeah, exactly.
No rules and, yeah.
I've tried to get her interested in trying a tabletop RPG. And she refuses. I don't really know why, but she, like, the fact that there's dice and rules and stuff, like, seems to, like, bother her on, like, an intrinsic level. So, there's no convincing her around it. All right, so let's see. We've recorded for 2 hours and said nothing. That sounds about right. Oh, an hour and 15 minutes. So, once the editing's done, like, an hour. So, we're right on track. Yeah, so I guess if we want to get this done, we should probably wrap it up. I guess we'll just save our topic for next time.
Well, pretend like we talked about a bunch of stuff.
We'll pretend like we had a topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned next show to find out what it was. Yeah. Okay, so I think you had a couple things news article-wise. Or
yes.
Like releases.
So it's...
I sense a theme here.
Almost green team-teamed. Yeah. First, by Mantic, there's the Vanguard Goblins Mega Bundle that's available. So, it's a lot of goblins. I don't know if you need that many to play Vanguards already, but that might just be more choices. I like their newer goblin pieces. Like the there's kind of a flyer that looks like a giant pork pig? Bat.
Yeah, exactly. It has the big nose and whatever. Yeah, you know, Mantic's come so far, eh? Remember the first releases? Like,
compared to what they were at release, and the old tiny elves. And
well, the elves were at least interesting looking. Remember the dwarves? The dwarves were very static.
They were static, but I preferred their pose. Like the look of them.
Yeah, they were better than the elves were, but at least the elves were something different. But yeah, no, I mean, all to say, they've come a long, long way.
Right. Yeah. And just the only thing I really don't like about the Mantic Goblins are their wolf equivalents. I don't know. I don't remember the name of those beasts, but they have kind of a Rungmar or something like that. Magma. Strange. They're a mix of squigs and wolves, I would say.
The mop-ups?
Yeah, no? Maybe.
Those
I don't like that much, but anyway. It's the bottom one in the picture where I shared it. But everything else, I like their goblins. They're skinny, but they look a good mix between the classical Game Workshop and the Lord of the Ring ones. I find them, they just fit right in the middle. And they have crazy contraptions, so.
Oh my god, no, the mop ups are actually like puppies with teeth.
Yeah, they're that, but that they launch the mortal.
The magua.
Yeah.
The magua's the. But I thought that was their squig equivalent. I didn't realize it was actually their, like, wolf ward.
Yeah, they mount them too. There's a cavalry for it. Yeah. But still. So it's a nice bundle for Vanguard that we've not tried. Vanguard, I don't think I even looked at the rules, but I like the concept of it. It's a skirmish game with a campaign play, so it can be really bad. So it's not cheap. It's £99. Well, £100, £99.99. So £100, but you get a bunch of stuff, like something like
25 models.
25 models. And you That's get your base, all the cards for it. So it's a nice way to start into the game. And if you like it, continue maybe toward the Kings of War eventually. That was the first one. Second one, we've mentioned that name already multiple times during the recording, but it's the Loom Curse box set for Age of Sigmar. It's the newer box that got onto pre-order this week. Launching next week, so at the end of this week when we will release the show, it got the goblins, which are called the Gloom Spites something now.
Oh, you're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Gloom Spite Gits and the Sylvanets, just the like the three spirit parts of the old wood elf. So the Sylvanets, Rivenants, and stuff like that. So you got two forces, the scenario book for that box, two exclusive characters for now. There's a boss on a Mangler Squig for the goblins, and a new Arch Revenant, they call it. It's a winged tree spirit. It looks really cool for the Sylvanets. And comes with the core book and tokens and everything you need to play. So that box looks interesting. It's $190 Canadian. Also not cheap, but you got so much in it. Like it's a big investment in one, but you got two pretty big starter faction. So
yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. So.
Yeah, like the price tag is high, but I think it's entirely worth it. Yeah. So, it comes with its own rules, special war scroll, and three special scenarios just for it. So, looks cool. And it's two of the factions I always liked, the trees and the goblins. So, that one, I'm eyeing hard toward it.
Makes you sound like a hippie, just saying.
Sure. And that's it for me. That's it for the news.
All right, well, we've successfully made it through another podcast, and so have our listeners, if they're still with us. Those of you who remain, I appreciate your fortitude, and we will be here next week to torment you once again.
That's a right. Nice way to say it.
Yeah. Have a good rest of the week, Antoine, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too, Paul, and bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at prfilio, Antoine at eltonioberg, Steve at b_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks. We'll be right back.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find the Game Crafter Official Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to the tabletop game print on demand company, The Game Crafter, and its growing community. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.